Okay, welcome to the Monday night All Addictions meeting. And we have Caitlin here who's going to share on the Step 4 Sex Conduct Inventory. Take it away, Caitlin.
Hi, everybody. I'm Caitlin. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Though I have many other addictions, that's my main one that I identify with. It's nice to meet you all, and I feel really honored to be here. I find it so cool that BBA has made its way around the world because it's been the most effective methodology of doing the steps that I've come across. I was sick in the rooms, just not getting it, not having anyone to explain the book to me properly for many, many years. And so to go through the work this way, as we're doing it in the BBA, was totally revolutionary for me. So my experience leading up to the BBA work is that my alcoholism was the loudest and most life-threatening thing to me in terms of how the spiritual malady manifests. So I do relate to, I identify as an alcoholic or a recovered alcoholic, but I have also observed the spiritual malady run through me and lead me into hell and with drugs and prescription pills. My first addiction and numbing tool was food. When I was 2 years old, I have memories of using food to numb emotions of my mom leaving the house and being put with a babysitter. And then later on, control issues around food, anorexia, bulimia. The spiritual malady was on me hard and fast at a really early age. Just the level of pain that I incarnated with was unexplainable and disproportionate to the life circumstances that I was living in, and constantly looking for something outside of myself to make me feel like just barely manageable on the inside. I started to show issues with sexual relations in high school. Early people-pleasing tendencies with men. The first one I can remember was in high school, my junior year, where I had two boyfriends, not because I wanted to feel like I was cool, but because I didn't know how to say the truth or hurt people's feelings or worried about what the backlash would be and what they'd think of me and if they I would feel shame because they would be angry. And so the psychological twistedness of these things started early and did not get better. My relationships with the opposite sex and sexual conduct became increasingly problematic as my drinking became worse. Just to give you a little bit of the patterns that I was able to see and discover by way of doing the work, which I'll of course talk about too, is that I really enjoyed and associated love with the feeling of romantic highs. So the first 60 to 90 day oxytocin dopamine rush that we get from the lust was an extremely powerful drug for me, and it medicated me on a lot of levels. It made me feel whole. It made me feel like I was worthy, filled the gap, and was the closest thing that I knew, actually, even more so than drinking. It was the closest thing I knew to feeling the presence of God, or the loving energy of God that we find as a result of going through the steps. That love addiction was the closest I could come to that feeling. And so I sought it out all the time. And when the chemicals stopped wearing off, usually was the 3 month mark for me, I would think I had fallen out of love or that something was wrong with that person. And I would self-destruct, project, rage, all my fears of inadequacy, inability to accept their imperfections and meet them who they are, where they are. It was just what they could do for me, and they weren't doing the thing for me, which was making me feel high anymore. And so F you all the way home. And it was just terribly traumatic. And in some cases led to toxic abuse and even a little bit of violence at times, especially if other substances were involved. So I knew nothing of true tolerance, true acceptance. I knew nothing of self-appraisal, self-evaluation, owning my side of the street. I could not see anything that I was doing wrong. I did not know myself from anything in front of me, and everything was blame onto the other person and total projection. And because of the self-seeking in that way, I caused a lot of harm, cheating on many boyfriends, verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. And some of the people that I did that to were honestly good-hearted human beings and probably had no idea what hit them. So lots of wreckage. You know, I beat myself up when I first did the fourth step, sex conduct with BBA, because I realized what a sick, awful person I'd been. And I thought it meant that I was inherently bad. And sat with this for about a month, thinking that I didn't deserve or could function or be capable of honest, genuine connection or healthy sex conduct. And then I realized that, you know, a lot of what I had was actually deep down somewhere inside, honestly wanted to do right, just didn't know any better how to treat people or how to be better. And I had terrible examples as from my parents. And so they don't teach you this class in high school. You know, I had no model to look to and no guidance for what this was, and therapy didn't help for anything. And so I stopped blaming myself too harshly and realized that at the end of the day, I was doing the best I could with what I was given, and that it all came down as like what I had been seeking in these other people was actually love of myself, which isn't actually self-love. It's the feeling of God's love inside of me. So, you know, I enter BBA 6 months ago. And I was fresh off of a relapse and in the most codependent, toxic relationship of my life, bottoming out with alcohol in a relapse because mainstream AA wasn't doing it for me. So I was relapsing and my relationship was equally as bad as the drinking. And I went through a breakup with this partner at the same time that I started step work in BBA. And so I was going through the alcohol detox, and simultaneously I was going through relationship detox. And the pain that those two things side by side brought up for me was intense. I mean, I spent the first 8 weeks in basically in a fetal position crying because the fear of abandonment, the fear of unworthiness, probably what was repressed grief of countless relationship drama sagas, just purging at one time through the beginning of the step work. And it was an absolute dark night of the soul, come to Jesus on my knees moment, where the pain was so brutal. I was like, okay, I can't live like that this anymore. What do I have to do? And so I started the work with my sponsor, Marie, who also happens to be extremely knowledgeable about codependent relationships and attachment styles. And I just started to slowly go through the work. And wow, to see the book described as the way BBA does it was enlightening for me very fast. It did not medicate the pain away. I had to sit in the tears for months, but I started to feel Spiritual awareness of the fact that this was the tool that was going to transform and transmute all of this horrific, confused state of suffering for me. And so I realized in step one, it's not just alcohol that I am allergic to. It's not just alcohol that's making my life unmanageable. I learned the spiritual malady, and I see how the spiritual malady is motivating all of these addictions throughout my life. I mean, I could get addicted to bubbly water and gum, like anything, Netflix, like it. So when I started applying these concepts, I was like, this is revolutionary. This is going to change me from the inside out at the deepest cellular and spiritual level. And so I ran with it. And coming to our topic of getting to the fourth step, it was easy for me to understand very quickly how to start navigating these questions on 69. So I go through all the relationships and I'm reviewing my conduct. Had I been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate in every single case, without a doubt? That's so easy for me to see, and the patterns start to become clear. You know, where I'm selfish and why, and dishonest and why. And, you know, I'm studying the attachment styles at the same time, and who I had hurt in the process became very clear, not just the person, but the people that had to watch me in these behaviors. You know, I'm hurting all these people as well. Always easy for me to admit the jealousy, the suspicion, and the bitterness. So I had a long list of ex-partners that I, a couple I did not approach, but some of them that I, you know, have to make things right with. So that was important for me to see that it was not the other person, it was me that was doing these things. And so then the question becomes like, why? And so where I really, really, really clicked, where the sex inventory became like monumentally important for my spiritual growth, is that what I started to see is that the seven areas of self in the fourth step, the third column? That would be the third column, I believe. My self-esteem, my security, I'll just focus on those two for right now. So those two being examples of the seven areas of self. So this was when the big time spiritual awakening started happening for me, is that I realized that if I am using another human being, the partner, the love objection that I'm, you know, using to fill my addiction, if I'm looking to that person to have these seven areas of self, those needs met, instead of God, I am in for heartbreak and deep spiritual pain and toxic bonding with that person. So my self-esteem, my last relationship, for example, I have very low self-esteem. I've been drinking and using my whole life and causing wreckage. How would I have positive self-esteem? So my self-esteem, I'm outsourcing that onto the other person. And I'm like, validate me, validate me, validate me, make me feel good about myself, make me feel confident, give me that self-esteem, because I actually have none of it. And the second that person fails to do that, then there's that gaping hole. And then comes the fear that's associated with that, which is that I am as unworthy as I fear I am. And then comes the rage and the delusion and the self-seeking behavior, all projected out at that person because they didn't meet this need that's not their responsibility to do. And so I see, okay, I have to start looking. What health means in sex conduct for me is that I have to start looking to God to fill and have these needs met. And then I can show up to a relationship at some point down the road when I'm healthy enough and be like aware of my actions. How can I serve that person? What can I, you know, I'm basically showing up in neutral territory where this, I guess, let's go into the security where like, I am secure. I am okay, regardless of what that person does, that my security, my safety needs are okay whether that person comes, goes, left, right, up or down, says, doesn't say, does, doesn't do, all those things. My security is okay because I've figured out the tools that are in this book to have those needs met by God. Oh, I've started practicing this a little bit. I'm about 2 months into practicing it, and I can see crystal clear that when I am deep in honest 10th step evaluation, truly doing heart-centered 11th steps, and I'm maintaining that conscious contact, I am happy, joyous, and free inside, and I can show up with joy and without expectation in the partnership, which is I'm still in and out of it. Whether or not that heals, I don't know, but we're still working on it. But I can show up without expectation, and then that relationship just flows. But if I kind of fall off a little bit, it's been a few nights maybe since I've done the 11th step, maybe I'm focusing a little more on my career for the day there, or you know, that week, than I am God. And all of a sudden,
5 minutes remaining.
Thank you for cueing me on that. So then all of a sudden, you know, because I don't have that conscious contact and that need, that divine love isn't flowing through me, I start to feel myself just ever so subtly start to, he didn't text me back quick enough. And the toxicity sets in. So, and you know, and then that person feels it. And then there's the tension. And that's the beginning of toxic sex conduct, in my opinion. So how these things work, I can only speak as I'm still new at practicing this. So I can only speak about it as gracefully as I've practiced and understand it. But this is the beginning of my awareness as it's been seeded to me as a result of this work. So I'll say one last thing about it is that when I did my sex ideal, I wrote down all the things I want the person to be intelligent, funny, this amount of money. And I'm literally like trying to paint my partner of what the ideal person looks like. And when my, cause that was how I had done it going through mainstream AA, and obviously had gotten nowhere with it. I was like, this is a very evolved, sex ideal. Is like, I'm going to be focusing on, you know, I want that person to be spiritual. That's the sex ideal now. Cause I'm evolving through the step work, and my sponsor is still like, you're not getting it. And she says it ever so nicely, cause Marie is just an angel, and she's all, well, what if we considered the sex ideal as how you're going to show up in the relationship? And I was like, oh, for as self-centered as I could be as an alcoholic, why wouldn't I have thought that it's about me and my behavior and how I'm showing up to that relationship? So that really, really shifted it for me in a major way. And, you know, it took me about a month after writing the sex ideal from that perspective of how I'm going to show up with God behind me and through me. It took me about a month before I realized in a heart-centered way just how deeply I had fallen short. And when that happened, and when I realized how far away I was from my sex ideal with the person that had been my partner as I'd gone through this work, I had a massive breakdown. It was like 2 days of crying and again on my knees kind of thing, where I am in deep grief over how much pain I had caused this human and all the ways I had been demanding and angry and controlling and subtly manipulative, trying to meet these areas, these needs, and the seven areas of self through him. And the grief poured out of me, and I truly understood that was a big part of my awakening, is I truly understood in that process and then making the amends to him through that, like what was closing off and now what is going to open up to me moving forward in the future about what the sex conduct looks like. So I'm ever grateful for this. I mean, these are huge lessons for me. I think it's the most beautiful thing to be alive, to be able to witness and be the observer of this drastic, radical growth that I owe to the program and to God and the people who have shown me how to climb out and find truth and freedom out of like total darkness, chaos, and destruction. I mean, it does not get better than that, in my opinion. And if I get to keep on going in these ways, I'm just here for it every single time. So thank you for letting me share. Hope that was helpful to someone. And I think that probably times me out about right now. Is that 20 minutes? Cool. Okay.